Good morning, friends. It's so good to be with you on this beautiful day when our hearts are heavy. It's a blessing to be together. So thank you for this time. We're continuing with our sermon series, Surprise, and Reverend Jenny and Ryan have shared with us many ways that God has astonished us with unexpected results. Today's scripture from Acts 16 is no different. Last week, we discovered how Lydia, impassioned by a love of Christ, institutes another church because of an amazing detour. Our passage today focuses on another female figure who, unlike Lydia, finds herself on the fringes of life as a fortune-telling slave. This unfortunate young woman was oppressed and manipulated by owners who exploited her, and she was also plagued by a spirit that tormented her. Paul commands the spirit out of the girl, but it also ended her fortune-telling abilities, so she was no longer needed and useful to those who owned her. This infuriated the slave owners, so they complained to Roman political authorities and forced Paul and Silas to be imprisoned on the grounds of religious treason. While in prison, Paul and Silas praise God. They use hymns and prayers, and the other prisoners are moved to conversion. In an ironic twist, God conjures an earthquake, which allows Paul and Silas and the other prisoners to flee, but no one attempts to escape. The author of Acts, Luke, makes it clear that the reason that none of the jailed tried to escape is because God was instituting a bigger plan. You see, the Roman jailer, who was charged to keep Paul and Silas and the other believers captive, if he discovered that those who were jailed had escaped, he planned to take his own life for fear of torture and brutal death at the hand of Roman authorities. The Apostle Paul, using divine wisdom, halts the jailer from harming himself and saves the lives of this individual and his family. Our all-knowing, so powerful Creator can use us in surprising and unexpected ways to bring about new life and hope. So please listen now for the word of God from Acts 16, 16 through 34. Once, when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace to face authorities. They brought before them the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews, and they are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept and practice." The crowd joined in. They attacked Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and a jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. The other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. All at once, the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought that the prisoners had escaped. Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself! We're all here!" The jailer called for the lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke of the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them, washed their wounds, and immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer then brought them into his house, set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Our middle hymn today is "All Creatures of Our God and King." For those of you who are seated in the sanctuary, you're going to find these in the green hymnal, number 347. If you are worshiping online, the words to the hymn will be dropped into the comments for you to sing along at home. Just a note, we are not singing the last verse. Let us all join together and sing praises to our amazing God.
Thank you.
Friend, you may be seated. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I do believe that our mighty God shares each of our moments with us, in joy and in sorrow. God is always present. Keeping this in mind, I do believe that God has a sense of humor. Reverend Brian is great at capitalizing on God's sense of humor and relating them in his sermons. He shows how God shows up in funny and surprising ways. 2 weeks ago, during his installation message, Reverend Brian disclosed something that we both share. Earworms. Now, don't worry, an earworm is not a contagious disease, I promise you. It's just that song you can't get out of your head. Usually, an earworm is triggered by a word or phrase that someone says to you, and that's exactly what happened to me when Reverend Brian asked me to preach to you on an ironic escape. My earworm was a pop hit from the 90s, and it was titled Ironic by Alanis Morissette. Now, I won't horrify you by singing the song, but I can share some of the ironic situations that Morissette details in her song. Rain on your wedding day, free rides when you've already paid, good advice that you just didn't take. Ooh, maybe I'm giving you an earworm or possibly a headache. But either way, I offer this phrase from the song to ponder. Life has a funny way of helping you out. Life has a funny way of helping you out. Well, this struck me because I consider the many ways God uses life in a funny way to help us out. Now, the irony of Paul and Silas's earthquake that opened up the jail cell doors, which allowed Paul and Silas and the others to escape, well, the logical outcome didn't happen, did it? Instead, the wise Apostle Paul realized that the earthquake wasn't for their benefit at all. Instead, it was for the spiritual freeing of the Roman jailer who had been assigned to guard them. Now, isn't that ironic? It may not be the free ride that Morissette speaks of in her song, but it certainly is a funny way that God used a life situation to help the jailer out. Thinking of it in another way, Paul's unselfish response to the jailer's free ride to a new life already paid for by Jesus Christ and his unselfish sacrifice on the cross. Well, hats off to Paul for figuring out God's use of irony to help the jailer discover his escape from the bondages of sin and death. But personally speaking, I'm not sure if put in the same position as Paul, I wouldn't just bolt for the door and thank God on the way out. But then what? Not only is the opportunity to save someone lost, but I'm no longer working for God, am I? I'm thinking about myself. So what would happen if I started to recognize and appreciate the ironic ways God shows up in my life to help me out? Suddenly, The traffic jam, when I'm already late, another Morissette reference, doesn't cause me road rage, but instead a peace and gratitude for not being the reason for the traffic jam. Possibly the good advice that you just didn't take can be paid forward to someone instead of being a source of lament and regret. Considering the ways that God helps through funny, ironic life situations intimately connects us to God and reveals the presence of the Almighty, not only in times of trial, but also rejoicing. Now, I had an ironic God moment not too long ago. As many of you know, I'm in seminary, and my pastoral training requires me to embark on a year-long internship. Well, while I was interviewing with a local minister for a possible field study at his church, I confessed that in anticipation of internship, I had envisioned that my supervising pastor would be a woman. Reverend Peter quickly retorted to me, "Well, I expected my intern to be a 20-year-old student from BU with blue hair sleeping on my couch." Yes, in the irony of the moment, we both laughed, and God spoke. I begin my internship on September 1st under the watchful eye of the Reverend Peter Johnston at the First Congregational Church of Hanover, and I am blessed. I do believe that God uses the funny ways of life to help us out, but for these ironic episodes to be impactful, we must first recognize God's hand in our daily interactions and activities. When confronted with all those annoyances in life, would it be so bad to stop for a moment and reflect on the message God may be sending you? Could there possibly be a teachable moment from the traffic jam when you're already late, or the good advice that you just didn't take? And if so, what is God trying to say in those ironic moments? You might also ask, and this is difficult, "Well, that's fine and good for the little inconveniences in life, Lori, but what about those life-changing events that rock our world?" Tragically, as we heard this morning from Pastor Brian, our country experienced one of those events this past week in the small town of Uvalde, Texas, where 19 children and two adults were shot and killed at an elementary school. This sermon that you're hearing was written before the events that occurred at the Robb Elementary School on Tuesday. However, it was put heavily upon my heart to share some thoughts with you as it relates to our message today. As a mother and a teacher, I am horrified by this evil act of profound violence. I am heartbroken for the families whose lives are impacted forever. The unthinkable has happened to this small Texas community. And in the violent, tragic irony of this situation, many, like me, wonder, where is God? Friends, I believe with all my heart that God does not create tragic circumstances in our world. Sin and evil do. When we weep, God weeps with us. I had written that before Reverend Brian's words this morning. When we weep, God weeps with us and then responds with loving mercy. When God created that earthquake from Acts 16, it was a direct response to Paul and Silas's circumstances. God was there. The apostle and his friend needed to take responsibility, though, in that crisis to act in a Christ-like manner. It was up to them to follow through. God responds to all suffering, to share in it, lament in the sin that created that pain, and then offer divine mercy to those whose hearts have been broken. I want to repeat this because I feel like this has been helpful to me. God shares in it, laments, it's painful, it hurts, in the sin that created that pain, and then offers divine mercy to those who seek it. Sadly, we do not need to look very far to recognize other examples of tragic irony present all around us. There is a tragically ironic reality that exists in our world today, and it is that the marginalized and the vulnerable are the ones most profoundly affected by injustice. What we saw this week and many examples that we have in our daily lives prove that fact. The ones who are marginalized and vulnerable are most profoundly affected by the injustices of this world. When we think about the prevalence of food insecurity, for an example, we don't need to be bombarded with statistics to realize poor and marginalized are the ones who suffer the greatest risk of not having enough to eat on a daily basis. This compounds their already difficult and complex life situation. The ironic tragedy for these individuals is that many of them are children, again, who are innocent victims of social injustice. So contemplating these difficult and complex and hard issues of injustice, we as Christians are called to listen carefully for God speaking, and when faced with crisis, faithfully respond to the suffering. God's love is greater than sin. It's also greater than the pain that is caused by sin. It is our job to be God's hands and feet, eyes and ears in this world, and be brave enough and willing enough to work for justice. Again, we are reminded of Paul's example from our text today. Paul's instinct to help the Roman jailer, even though he represented the government that had put him in jail, demonstrates a Christ-like, self-sacrificing love. Paul did not have to risk his own safety and security to free the jailer, but he desired to follow Christ's example and to extend an act of Christian love which goes beyond words. When we commit ourselves to become God's advocates for justice, we can champion together in this fight to end the tragically ironic life situations. Like Paul, God can use us in surprising ways to bring about hope and new life to the oppressed. In an ironic escape, God was able to free the enslaved fortune teller, free the Roman jailer and all the prisoners that were held captive. Think of the possibilities for us if we were to extend unselfish love to our neighbors in need. Now, I wouldn't be a proper teacher without attempting to assign homework. Don't worry, I promise you don't have to write an essay, but my charge to you for this coming week is to look for and take note of all the times that God shows up in your life, whether they're ironic situations that you are experiencing or maybe someone that you know or in your family. Bring that awareness and potential for change to your own life. You might just be surprised at how often it happens. The challenges of this world can shake us, and we can feel like there's an earthquake beneath us, like how we felt this week. All of our sensibilities might be challenged, but our great Creator, Redeemer God can use all life events, whether big or small or in between, to open the door to new possibilities, just like what happened to Paul and Silas and the jailer. When we recognize divine intervention in our life, we can capitalize on the important message God is trying to convey. God is intimately involved in every aspect of our lives. And when confronted with those ironic moments, whether we shudder, we laugh, or we cry, God is there, and it is our challenge to be filled with intense gratitude for all the many blessings in our lives. Amen. So our final hymn is O Breath of Life. It's hymn number 579 in your green hymnal. Friends who are worshiping online, the words are going to again drop into those